Title: Respace Fundamentals Masterclass with Live 12 Stock Packs Advanced. All right, welcome in. This is an advanced masterclass on Respace Fundamentals in Ableton Live 12, using only stock devices and stock packs, aimed straight at drum and bass, jungle and rolling bass music. And here's the big mindset shift for today: a proper DNB Reese is not a preset. It's a system. It's to tune movement that's controlled, stereo that's disciplined, harmonics that are intentionally shaped, and dynamics that stay consistent so the bass remains loud, deep, and readable under a busy drum loop. By the end, you'll have a two-layer Reese setup that's basically mix-ready. A mono, clean, stable sub-layer, and a mid-layer that has stereo movement and growl, without wrecking your low end. Then we'll glue it on a bus, sidechain it to the kick, and talk arrangement moves so this actually works in a real 8 to 16 bar DNB section. Let's build it. First, session setup. Set your tempo around 172 to 176 BPM. I'll sit at 174 as a comfortable middle. Now create three tracks. Two MIDI tracks named bass sub and bass mid. Then create a group for them and call it bass group. If you prefer working with a separate bus track, that's fine too, but grouping is fast and clean. The reason we split layers is simple. The sub has one job, which is to be stable weight. The mid has a different job, which is to be character and movement. If you force one patch to do both, that's usually how you end up with a bass that sounds cool soloed but collapses in the mix. Quick coach note before we even design: pick your anchor note. Seriously, Reese movement interacts with pitch. Sun settings feel enormous on F sharp, but suddenly smear on A, or trigger a nasty resonance in the 150 to 300 zone on one particular note. So decide your key early, then design so the worst note still behaves. Now, the sub layer. On bass sub, drop in wavitable. Keep it boring on purpose. Oscillator 1. Sine or basic shapes to sine. Unison off. Voices 1. Filter off unless you have a reason. Now your sub-processing chain, in order. First, EQ 8. High pass around 20 to 25 Hz. That's just cleaning subsonic garbage that steals headroom. If you already know your system doesn't reproduce that low, you still don't want it eating limiter space later. Optionally, a tiny dip around 200 to 300 if the sub is somehow contributing mud when the mid layer comes in. Keep that subtle. Next, saturator. Mode on analog clip. Drive around 2 to 5 dB. Subtle. The goal is not distortion. The goal is to add a little harmonic support so the sub feels solid and consistent, and so it holds up better across listening systems. Turn on soft clip if you want extra containment. Then trim the output so you're not fooling yourself with loudness. Next, a compressor or glue compressor. Ratio around 3 to 1. Attack 15 to 30 milliseconds. Release 80 to 150 or auto. And only aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. This layer should not be slammed. If you crush your sub, you'll lose the natural movement of the bass line and you'll start fighting your kick. Finally, utility. Width to 0%, non-negotiable, mono sub, then use the gain to balance later. So the sub goal is consistent weight, no stereo wobble, no surprises, and it must not fight the kick. Now the mid-Reese layer, where the fun happens. On bass mid, load wavitable again. This is the classic core, saws, oscillator 1, saw, oscillator 2, saw, or a slightly different saw if you want more texture. Now you have two main ways to get that Reese motion. Tiny oscillator to tune offsets or unison. If you want old school, direct Reese behavior, set OSC 2 to a tiny offset like plus 0.07 to plus 0.20 semitones. That's a barely detuned but constantly moving feeling. If you want a more modern, thicker spread, use unison. Unison on classic, voices 4 to 8, amount 10 to 25%. Don't get greedy. Too much to tune is how you get that seasick, broken pitch vibe, especially in DNB where the bass is the spine. Now set up the filter in wavitable. Choose something like MS2. Start cutoff around 250 to 600 Hz. We'll modulate it. Add some filter drive, like 2 to 6 per byte. Now movement. This is where you make it feel alive without sounding like it's doing EDM wah-wah. LFO1 to the filter cutoff. Rate around 0.10 to 0.35 Hz. So slow drift, amount small to moderate. You want it to breathe, not talk. Then LFO2 to oscillator to tune, or to unison amount. Rate around 0.25 to 1.2 Hz. Subtle amount. Here's your DNB rule of thumb. Slower LFOs read like rollers, controlled menace. Faster LFOs read more neuro-ish and agitated. Neither is better, but it has to be intentional. Now we process the mid layer, and this is where a lot of people accidentally destroy their low end. The key principle: remove lows from the mid before distortion. If you distort full range, the low end becomes fuzz, eats headroom, and fights your sub. So first device on the MAD channel, EQ8. High pass around 80 to 120 Hz. You're making space so the sub owns the real low end. If the sound is boxy, dip a little around 250 to 450. If you need presence later, you can boost a touch around 900 Hz to 2K Hz, but don't decide that too early. Now gain staging, because it's a make or break detail. Before you hit distortion, set the MID layer, so its peaks are roughly minus 12 to minus 9 dBFS on the channel meter. This keeps distortion honest. If you feed RAW a hot signal, you'll think I need less drive, when what you really needed was a sensible input level. Next, RAW. Live 12 distortion monster, but we're using it like a controlled harmonics generator. Pick a solid, neutralish style. Tube, warm, or anything clip-leaning. Drive around 10 to 25% as a starting zone. Then inside RAW, shape the tone so you don't get fizzy pain. Roll off harshness above 8 to 10 kHz. If RAW gives you a mix control, try 50 to 80% depending on density. The goal is simple. Add mid harmonics so the reese translates on smaller speakers without losing that DNB weight. After RAW, use auto filter as a focus tool. Low pass 12 or 24 dB slope. Cut off somewhere between 1.5 and 6 kHz depending how bright your track is. Optional, a small envelope amount for punch, but keep it controlled. This cutoff is going to be one of your main automation targets later. Optional but very DNB. Chorus ensemble. Use chorus mode. Rate 0.15 to 0.40 Hz. Amount low to moderate. You're aiming for width and shimmer, not 90s trance. If you hear obvious wobble, back it off. Then utility. Width on the MID can be 120 to 160% to start. If you have bass mono available, set it around 120 Hz to keep low mid stability. Then gain stage again so you aren't clipping your group. Now we glue everything together on the bass group. First, EQ8, high pass 20 to 25 Hz again, just like before. And if you notice a nasty resonance, often around 150 to 250, you can notch it. Be careful, if you carve too hard there, you'll thin out the whole bass. The smarter move is often dynamic control, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Next, glue compressor. Attack around 10 ms, release auto or 0.1 to 0.3 seconds. Ratio 2 to 1. Aim for 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction on peaks. This is cohesion, not crushing. Soft clip on if you want extra containment, then a final saturator for polish. Drive 1 to 3 dB. Soft clip on. This is a classic pin it forward move, where the bass sits more confidently without you just turning it up. Then a limiter as safety. Ceiling minus 0.3. Only catching overs, maybe 1 to 2 dB max. If you're limiting more than that, it's usually a sign your earlier gain staging or distortion balance needs a tweak. Key mindset. The layers create tone. The group creates record-ready control. Now let's program the bass line in a DNB-friendly way. Start with a 2-bar loop. For roots, F, F sharp, and G are common comfortable zones for DNB, but it's not a rule. Choose what fits your track. A simple roller approach is bar 1. A longer note to establish the pocket, then some short syncopated stabs. Bar 2. A variation and a pickup into the next phrase. Two important MIDI tips. If you want continuous movement on the MID, use legato overlaps so the synth doesn't fully retrigger in a way that breaks the flow. But keep the sub more anchored, fewer note changes, because that stability is what keeps the whole track feeling solid. Then groove and swing. You can add a light groove from the groove pool, like an MPC-ish 16 swing. But don't commit it too early. Once you change timing, you change how the kick and bass interact, and you want to make those decisions when you're already hearing the relationship clearly. Now sidechain, because this is how you get a cleaner, louder mix without turning the bass down. On the bass group, add a compressor with sidechain enabled from the kick track. Ratio 4 to 1. Attack 0.5 to 3 milliseconds. Release 60 to 120 milliseconds. Threshold so you're getting about 2 to 5 dB of ducking. And here's a pro adjustment. Sidechain timing should match the kick envelope, not the grid. If your kick is short and punchy, use a faster release so the bass resumes quickly and the groove feels urgent. If the kick has a longer tail, use a longer release, so you don't get that double hit low end where the bass comes back too soon and fights the tail. Now arrangement, because a reese that sounds good on a loop still has to tell a story over 8 to 16 bars. A reliable roller structure goes like this. Bars 1 to 4, filtered reese. lower auto filter cutoff and slightly less width, bars 5 to 8. Open the cutoff, add a touch of roar drive automation, bars 9 to 12. Introduce call and response, either by changing the MIDI rhythm or transposing a phrase, bars 13 to 16. Peak version plus a fill, like a quick 8-note stutter or a pitch dip. And remember, call and response doesn't have to be different notes. One of the cleanest advanced tricks is alternating stereo strategy. Phrase is wider and darker. Phrase bead is narrower and brighter. Same notes, new contrast, and it reads huge in a mix. Let's cover the common mistakes so you can avoid the classic time wasters. Mistake 1. Stereo sub. Instant weak club translation. Fixes utility with zero on the sub, and keep that layer clean. Mistake 2. Too much detune or chorus. The pitch feels broken and the bass loses focus. Fix. Reduce detune, slow the LFOs, and keep movement subtle. Mistake 3. Distorting before removing lows. Your low end turns into fuzz and eats headroom. Fix. High pass the mid layer before roar or heavy saturation, and let the sub carry the true low. Mistake 4. No gain staging. You think you need more distortion, but you're just clipping. Fix. Keep devices out of the red and use utility for level management. Mistake 5. Uncontrolled resonances, usually 150 to 300 Hz. Fix. A narrow dip with EQ8, or better, dynamic control. So let's add a couple advanced stock-only upgrades. 1. Dynamic resonance control. After distortion on the MID, drop multiband dynamics. Focus on the low-mid band, roughly 120 to 500. Use gentle downward compression to catch the bloom only when it swells. This is often cleaner than carving with static EQ, because the reese changes over time. 2. Width only above a crossover frequency. This is a big one. If your bass collapses in mono, don't just narrow the whole thing. Move the width upward. Here's a stock method. On the MID layer or the group, create an audio effect rack with two chains. Low mid chain, EQ8 low pass around 250 to 400, then utility width 0 to 60%. High chain, EQ8 high pass around 250 to 400, then utility width 140 to 180%. Blend to taste. This keeps punch centered while still feeling wide. And quick note on correlation, use it as a design tool, not just a final check. If you widen the MID and correlation starts going negative and the bass vanishes in mono, that's your signal. Adjust width by band, not just overall. This audio version is shortened for playback.